Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Ian Douglas, the storyteller, and I have a story to tell you. And this story is called Stuck in the Lock. There was a feeling of nervous tension in the air when, early one September morning, a flotilla of six narrowboats set off from the Albert Dock in Liverpool. Their journey would eventually take them down onto the canal network at Ellesmere Port, but first they had to tackle the Great Mersey River and then on to the Manchester Shipping Canal. It was a journey not to be undertaken lightly, especially when you are guaranteed to be the smallest vessels out on the water and you're about to try to navigate a river with notoriously strong tides. The year was 1930, and carriage by narrowboat was gradually declining. As a consequence, narrowboat owners were having to take any work that was offered to make ends meet, and so, even though they were anxious about navigating the shipping channels, they were prepared to take on the task. But the boats set off into the main channel of the Mersey in good weather, and luckily the tide was running with them, so they made good headway. And even though all on board were experienced men and done the journey before, none could shake the sense of awe at the magnitude of the place and the feeling of vulnerability. However, they ploughed on with grim determination until eventually they'd made the crossing. They sounded their horns to alert the lock workers to open the lock gates that would bring them down onto the shipping canal. But even this move, from river to canal, would bring them no relief. The Manchester Ship Canal stretched for 36 miles and had heavy traffic consisting of seafaring ships that still made the narrowboat crews feel vulnerable. Well, the best approach, as they all knew, was to get on with the job in hand. Such was the size of the great lock that all six boats were able to fit inside at the same time. The crews worked quickly to rope the boats together to stop them from crashing against one another as the water quickly emptied from the lock. Down and down went the boats. The sound was terrific and seemed to take an age. When eventually the lock emptied, the lock gates opened, and the boats could be untied to allow them to continue their journey. They entered the shipping canal in single file, eager to get away from its vastness and onto the safe familiarity of the narrow canal. Luckily for them, the distance to Evesham Lock at Ellesmere Port wasn't too great, and the men's hearts were lifted as the lock soon came into view. The only downside was that the lock, unlike that of the shipping canal, would only allow one boat at once to descend, so the boats and their crews waited anxiously for the first boat to enter. The skipper of the first boat brought the bow forward to allow the crew to jump to the bank and then waited as they opened the lock gate to let the boat in. Once the boat had cleared the gates, the men swung it shut, and when the skipper was happy, he signalled for them to open the sluice to let the water out and let the boat descend. But nothing happened. Even though the water dropped from the lock, the boat didn't move, not even an inch. This was bad news and could mean only one thing. The boat must be wedged between the lock walls, and if they lost all the water, it would leave the boat dangling in mid-air and it could plunge down at any time. The skipper gave a cry, and quickly his crew could see the problem. As quick as they could, they closed the sluice to stop the water and opened the top gate sluice to let more water in. Then, once the water was balanced again, they alerted the five waiting boats and went to investigate. The skipper and his crew looked intently around the boat, close to the lock walls, to try and find where the boat had become wedged, but they just couldn't understand it. There was a decent gap all around the hull, which meant that the problem must be under the water. Well, by now, a crowd had gathered to see what the problem was, And with all the boats still in the shipping canal, the skipper was getting hot under the collar. However, he persevered. Grabbing a bilge hook from the top of the cabin, he started to probe around under the water until eventually, with a look of confusion, he told everyone that there was something under the boat and they should let the water out to see what it was. Well, it took some convincing, but eventually they agreed. And once again they opened the sluice gate. Water gushed out of the lock. And the boat stayed where it was. But then, to everyone's amazement, the problem revealed itself. Under the boat, holding the entire weight of the steel hull, was a 5-ton Grampus whale. And it was alive. All of a sudden, there was a burst of life. As the skipper and crew forgot about the perils of river travel and seafaring ships and turned their attention to saving the life of this beautiful creature. They filled the lock, pulled the boat back onto the shipping canal and slowly, with gentle persuasion, coaxed the whale out of the lock. All boat movement on the canal was stopped as the beast swam out into the water, glad to be free of its stone prison. A message was sent from narrowboat to narrowboat, and suddenly those 6 boats had a purpose. Taking control of the water, they carefully steered the whale back up the Manchester Ship Canal and into the Great Lock so that it could be taken up and released back into the Mersey River and hopefully back into the sea. And do you know what? As that whale made its way into the lock, it let rip a 30-foot-high spout of water to celebrate, and the men on those boats gave out a great cheer in response.